B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Two 26-year-old friends were hanging out there playing video games at home in Palm Harbor, Florida, when one shot the other while showing him what he thought was an unloaded gun. That's why you've got to be careful. Sean Cook went to hang out at Shea Harkins' house Thursday evening. Deputies said Harkins went to retrieve a Colt M4 rifle that he had been customizing prior to Cook's arrival. Harkins reportedly told detectives he returned to his bedroom and pointed the rifle at Cook as a joke, which is when Cook responded, "What are you going to do, shoot me?" Deputy said Harkins admitted to pulling the trigger on what he thought was an unloaded weapon. The gun had a bullet in the chamber, and it struck Cook in the chest. He was transported to the hospital and was pronounced dead.
So that's why if you adhere to that one rule, never point a gun at someone.
Yeah, and also,
unless you're using it, obviously, in a defensive capacity.
And also, the gun is always loaded.
Yeah.
That's what she'd always assume. Harkins has been charged with one count of manslaughter. He was transported to the county jail without incident. We have audio of this story, Case. Have this ready. TikTok users filmed the moment. They say they unexpectedly discovered human remains inside a suitcase that was dumped on a waterfront in Washington State. Seattle police announced the discovery of two items of luggage that contained a dead body on Friday night. The young people who say that they found the first bag and alerted authorities posted video footage from the shocking encounter. It was captioned, "Something traumatic happened that changed my life." This is a TikTok user, Henry, wrote on the video. The social media user used the hashtags crime and murder, said, "We found this black suitcase. We were joking that maybe the suitcase would have money, but the smell was overwhelming." And in the amateur video, the clip, the videographer is heard telling one girl, "Open it. It stinks, yo." So I think we have audio of that. So let me, in case you got that queued up.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah, this is it. No, it's not working. All right, let me play this one then. Here we go.
"Guys, we found a suitcase at the
beach." "Yeah, I'll hold your stuff."
"I don't know. Wait, open it." "Open it.
It was sweet."
"It stinks, y'all." "Oh." Okay, so she's calling the police so we can see if it's actually a dead body or it's just food.
Yeah, they didn't open. There were plastic bags inside. They didn't open the plastic bags. And sure enough, there were body parts in there.
Oh, my God.
And they found two of the suitcases. There was another one in the water.
Wow.
And so they're trying to figure out what's going on. But they said it smelled really bad.
Yeah.
So they are heard. There we go. They are heard laughing before realizing the black bag stuffed inside the suitcase may contain something sinister. Investigators notice the bags contain human remains, prompting them to summon detectives to the area. The remains were scheduled to be taken to the medical examiner's office for further analysis. People in the video only learned that it was human remains after checking the news later on.
Wow.
Medical examiners were going to identify the remains and determined a cause of death, and police have not released any information. By the way, the video caption states that they were using what's called a Randonautica app.
Randonautica?
Yeah, this sounds slightly interesting to me. It may sound dumb to you guys, but the app encourages people to explore areas around them by using a random number generator to come up with a set of coordinates. Users are told to set an intention before embarking on the trip and then report back later on whether they experienced any coincidences that suggest that the universe had fulfilled the intention.
You've got time for that.
I may do that. I love stuff like that.
What do they call it? Geomapping?
Geocaching.
Geocaching, yeah.
Yeah, so, but this is, I mean, there's no guarantee that anything's there. Or you might find a suitcase full of dead body parts.
Wow.
I don't know. Wow. A suspected COVID-19 patient in India allegedly died after his family members unplugged the ventilator, which was giving him breathing support, to switch on an air cooler. The incident occurred on Monday, by the way.
So it wasn't like they did it on purpose.
No, they did it by accident. The patient who passed away was a 40-year-old man who came to the hospital with breathing difficulties and was suspected to have COVID-19. The patient's family members came to visit him and brought along their own air cooler.
Ooh, it's much nicer now, right?
Without informing the hospital. And the hospital had not installed an air conditioner in the isolation ward to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. But the ventilator given to the patient had a backup battery. The family didn't inform the hospital staff that they were unplugging it. The battery discharged eventually. So I guess they unplugged it and saw that it was still running.
Oh, okay. So, but honestly, would you ever unplug anything in a hospital?
Nothing.
Ever. Come on.
The patient's condition.
I was just trying to run my hot plate.
Turned critical on the same day after which he passed away. The doctor on duty filed a complaint saying the patient's relatives had misbehaved.
These things are noisy. Unplug a few of them.
And had been negligent. What's that
noise? The beep, beep, beep.
And then we have another story that's COVID-19 related. A bottle of hand sanitizer left on a car's dashboard caused the vehicle to catch on fire.
You hear about this?
Yeah.
It's alcohol and that stuff.
Thursday, and this happened in suburban Waukegan. Fire officials stated that sunlight shining through the windshield onto the sanitizer was enough to cause the fire to ignite. The owner had been refilling the bottle with 80% alcohol sanitizer that was supplied by her employer. The owner was able to spray a small amount of water through a small hole in the windshield and extinguish the fire. Fire department said other similar incidents have happened across the country, and with the summer heat, they strongly recommend hand sanitizer isn't kept in vehicles. I need to get mine out of my car.
Save the sanitizer and then my baby.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
When authorities released the cause of a 21-year-old man's death in a Santa Cruz County jail cell hours before a demonstration seeking answers about the incident was scheduled to begin. Tamario Smith, who was 21 years old, died in a Santa Cruz County jail cell Monday 10th. An autopsy determined his death was caused by overconsumption of water.
Oh, wow.
You hear about this every now and then.
Yeah. It is absolutely possible.
Pathologists determined Mr. Smith's cause of death to be acute water intoxication due to the overconsumption of water in a short period of time, the sheriff's office stated. I said the overconsumption of water was influenced by Mr. Smith's underlying mental health issues. This water consumption led to an electrolyte imbalance, which caused Mr. Smith's organs to fail, leading to Mr. Smith's death. The autopsy found no evidence of trauma, foul play, COVID-19, or any sign that Smith had ingested any kind of a toxic substance. I remember the first time I heard of this was a radio contest.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And it was a who could drink, you know, the most water in the shortest amount of time or something along the lines.
There's a woman that died, right?
A woman died, and like immediately the edict went out, no more of these over-the-top contests of how much, you know.
How much can you hold your urine or whatever, all that
things
stuff.
Things like that, yeah. So,
well, when I passed out here in the studio and they took me over to Lankenau, the doctor told me I was drinking too much water.
Oh, really?
It was flushing potassium out of my system.
Yeah. So you can overdo it. Smith did not share a cell with another inmate, and his death was ruled an accident. He was found unresponsive. Officers attempted life-saving measures and called paramedics before he was pronounced dead at the jail.
Steve, I think you're still allowed to have a contest where you pee into a diaper. I think you're still allowed to do that.
Right. I think that's in the Constitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a peeing in a diaper story for you later.
Oh, well, my God.
I want to hear that.
Between this and tossing salad, Kathy's two for two today.
What a day. Video, this was probably the coolest thing I saw all weekend, and no reports of anybody getting hurt, so that's good. Video shows a silver minivan speeding down eastbound 91 freeway and throwing off tons of sparks on Friday night. And when the eyewitness driver who was filming this catches up to the minivan, he couldn't believe what he saw. It was a motorcycle stuck to the front of the silver minivan. I know you've seen it, Steve. Have you guys seen this video?
No. Please put it up. Your jaw will drop.
All right.
How?
I don't know. And the eyewitness captured it all as the minivan then started to exit the freeway. The eyewitness said that he was so concerned, he exited at the first opportunity and circled back around. And he found that the motorcycle was on the side of the road along with the front bumper of the minivan. A few moments later, that eyewitness spotted the minivan dumped just off the road next to a tree. We're looking at, look up on the monitors,
God.
Kathy. Look at this. There's nobody on this motorcycle. The rear end of it, it's sitting upright, which is bizarre. The rear end of it seems to be embedded in the van or underneath it or somehow or another. It's crazy.
Why does that guy keep driving?
He did something.
Okay.
You know, because they found the van abandoned later on.
Oh my God.
There's no sign of the driver who had apparently taken off, and no word from the police as to what might have happened.
The assumption is he rear-ended somebody on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
This doesn't look real. Going.
I know it doesn't. I've never seen anything quite like it. But
nobody has come out and said that they were hurt or injured.
From what I've seen, I've saw no reports of injury. They didn't find the guy who was driving. They found the motorcycle and the van, and that's all we know so far. But I'll look for a follow-up.
Now, there was a time, Preston, where you had a motorcycle helmet.
Okay. Yes. Got wedged underneath the van.
That was cool.
And I couldn't get it out of there. And I had to drive all the way home with the thing scraping like that underneath. I brought it in for you guys to see.
It was filed down
halfway,
and you got to see what's in a motorcycle helmet.
Yep.
But it was clean. It was almost like you'd polished it.
Almost like a laser had taken and sliced it.
It was wild.
And I had to get like a sledgehammer and bash it the other direction to get it out of there.
That's like when you're going, why me?
Exactly. A university student in Malaysia who went out on a limb to ensure that she had a good internet connection to sit her exams online has impressed many with her resourcefulness. 18-year-old Vivona Mizibin lives in a remote part of the eastern state of Sabah where broadband services are limited. So there's no electricity or running water in her house.
Wow.
And she had said that she charges her cell phone at the houses of relatives and neighbors who do have electricity. So she had prepared for her test 2 weeks previously by building a small shelter on a hill where 3G reception for the area is good. On the day of the exam, however, she found that the hut had blown down. So she decided the next best place to ensure a strong connection was in a tree. So she climbed up in this tree.
Man.
And she's also an aspiring YouTuber, and she filmed her experience. She posted it on a channel that she set up in May, which features a handful of other videos of life on her family's farm. Armed with a mosquito net, a power bank, and meals of rice wrapped in leaves, Ms. Mozabin completed her exams uneventfully, save for the intrusion of a hornet during the meal. But her escapade, which has been viewed and shared hundreds of thousands of times since she posted it this week, has earned her the admiration of many others. But that's what she had to do.
And that's how important education is for her.
Exactly.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yep. Well, this is in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. A nursing home had been evacuated, and there were several ambulances on the scene Thursday afternoon after a drain cleaner in a sink had a reaction and started fuming. Officials said maintenance employees poured a drain cleaner into a clogged slop sink, which had a reaction and started fuming.
You ever heard of a slop sink?
You ever heard of a slop sink?
I think we should all have a slop sink.
That's mainly why I kept this story in here, is a slop sink. And it started,
oh, it's in the slop sink.
They poured some kind of drain cleaner, and it got a reaction until it could be termed what it was. The faculty chose to evacuate the residents out. There were no reported injuries.
Oh, dear, there's been a backup in our slop sink.
Officials said there were no unusual meter readings, and they are cleaning it up.
That's one thing you never hear on Downton Abbey. There's a little bit of a mess in the slop sink.
And ventilating it. Emergency services implemented its mass casualty incident protocol to assist with the evacuations of 76 residents and care for them while evacuated. I would do one last story and then wrap it up. Let's see if I got a short one here. We will end with this one. A woman and her husband in Northeast Maryland found a live World War I bomb while digging in a flower bed.
The hell was it doing in Maryland?
Exactly.
That's where the fighting got thick.
The startling discovery.
During World War I. You remember the trench warfare?
No, I don't.
Just outside of Baltimore.
All right.
Kelly and Shannon Thomas left the round where they found it and called the sheriff's office. They said after examining the device, it was determined that the best course of action was to conduct an emergency disposal to render the ordnance safe. And a bomb technician disposed of the potentially dangerous round on the scene.
My dearest wife, I am here in Maryland fighting trench warfare. I hope to return to you one day.
The unexploded military ordnance, determined to be a 37 MKI projectile, made its way to the Thomas's flower bed from the Aberdeen Proving Ground on the Chesapeake Bay 10 miles away.
All right.
I don't know what the Aberdeen Proving Ground is.
So Marissa and I were familiar with it because it's across the bay from Tahqua Camp, and you would hear the detonations and the ordnances going off. They would test all sorts of rounds at Aberdeen, and the way the sound carries and the way that, you know, it would rattle the cabins.
Okay. Now it makes sense. Tahqua,
yeah.
Because they were munitions to be sent over to the war.
I guess they were doing it for a long time in that location.
I suppose so, yeah.
Unexploded military ordnance in the bay and surrounding waters occasionally makes its way to the surface, they said. However, the discovery of military ordnance is not limited to tidal waters. Wow. Okay. And that is what I have in the Bizarre File for you at this point in time.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.